I keep hearing the Lord say that I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I am the creator of life. I am the creator of new life. When I sent my only begotten Son, it was to purchase new birth, a new life. I kept hearing the Lord say when I was in the back, the springtime is coming. New birth is coming. The springtime is coming. There's new birth coming. The seeds of God have been planted. And the Lord says, this is a season where I will bring water and I will bring sunshine and the new sprouts and the new things and the things that you prayed for and the things you've contended for. Lord says that this will be a season like no other season. But this will be a season of growth, says the Lord. I'm telling you, something is shifting. I felt in the Holy Spirit like never before. I heard the Lord say, it is a season of growth, but it is a season of hope. It is a season of growth, but it's a season of hope. And then I heard the Lord say, let hope arise. I'm telling you, the Lord, right now, in this moment, God's going to release hope. And I don't know what you need hope for. I don't know what your circumstances are. I don't know what your situation is. But the King of Kings is here this morning. Come on. The Lord God Almighty is here this morning. For you. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, God, we release hope, God. I keep hearing heavenly hope right there. Come on. Let it attach to your faith. Come on. Let it attach to that seed. Lord, we speak growth, God. We speak springtime in the name of Jesus over our lives. I'm telling you, the season of harvest is coming. The season of harvest is coming, says the Lord. Come on, let hope arise. Right there, wow. Right there, come on. Let him take your doubt. Let him take your unbelief right there, come on. Surrender right now, come on. Wow, wow. Hope arise. I'm telling you, miracles are happening right now in your life. I keep hearing there's miracles in relationships right now that have been damaged in situations. God is bringing hope. He's bringing new life right now. Come on. Wow, wow, right there. Wow, I'm telling you, you're about to get some calls. You're about to see things restored. Even in the next 2 weeks, it's going to just blow your mind. Yes, Lord, release it right now. Wow, wow. Come on. Hope arise. Come on, let hope arise in you this morning. What's the craziest thing you could believe for? Come on. God is in the room. Believe. Let hope attach to it. Let hope arise right now. Come on. Wow. Wow, wow. Wow.
I've been watching the television with the people. They are so mixed up. And that really bothers me. And I want them to be born again. I want the enemy. I'm telling him in me that he is nothing. He's a liar. And these people need to hear that, or they won't make it to heaven. I love the people. I love people. And so that's my prayer. Pray for him. And pray for our president. There's a lot of demonic stuff.
Am I on here? This is good, huh? Yeah. Sounding good? Thank you, Danny. Well, glory to God. You know, I was thinking, Tom, we're holding no secret. We're not holding any secrets. And where we get the treasures to go and do something for the Lord is usually in the house of the Lord, right? Yeah. So in the house of the Lord, this is the house of the Lord on a Sunday morning. And I was thinking, God's not dead. He's surely alive. You know, and I was thinking about the lion in us, and I've been around some lions, and they're scary. That's a scary animal. I don't know if you ever go on Google and Google up a lion attacking a man. I think the lion was shot, but when that lion come out of there, it literally come out with the speed and strength and the ability to pretty much wipe anything off the earth. The guy did get one shot, and the lion fell on top of him. I said, I think that would have been the scariest moment. The guy literally got up, and like it happened every day. But I was thinking about that lion coming out of there. And we have a lion on the inside of us, amen? And so I was thinking, Africa, we have teams. We're going to have 1,000 teams or 900 to 1,000 teams together. And we're the team that's getting to go. We get to go. That's so powerful. But I was thinking about having a song like that and then getting 1,000 young people to shout out and to roar like a lion. It's a lot of fun. You know, you get 10 doing it, that's fantastic. But if you got 1,000 people roaring, could you imagine what would go on? So I was thinking this morning that we're going to practice what we're going to do there. Would you get that song? No, we don't have to sing the song, but will we get that song? And we'll play it, and we'll have the lion, the spirit of the lion, released the first moment we get there upon the young people. So could you imagine 1,000 lions roaring at the same time? Let's see, we have 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, whatever number we have, if we had this number roaring at the same time, what would it sound like? Okay. Okay, let's do it on three. Just give your best roar because this is what we're going to do in Africa, all right? So we're taking what God shows us here, and we're just bringing it to Africa, and we don't have as many lions in this room, but I know they got a roar on the inside of them, amen? So you ready? 1, 2, 3, roar! How'd we do? I know I did good. I'm mic'd up, so. Sometimes we have to take something that is in sight, using it so that we do have it on the inside of us. That lion roars on the inside of us. And I think this last month and a half has been my hardest part of my life ever. But there's still that lion that roars. There's still that stirring up factor that I feel stronger today than I did a month and a half ago. And have you been through grief? Yes. Are you going through grief? Yes. But you know what? There's a lion. There's a Jesus. There's a power that goes beyond any other power on the inside of us. Amen. And we're going to take that one. We're going to roar off that one. We get them roaring. You know what? I preached a roar, and a lot of times you just have to keep on saying, go ahead and do it again. And you don't have to do a lot. You get some scriptures, and that roar begins to just take over people's lives. And that's what we want to do, is we want to take over people's lives. Linda mentioned something about how lost people are. And I just want to say how lost people are. But it's not like they're wanting to be lost. And it's not that that God isn't trying to get them to be found. Just think about Adam laying out there and in the cold and froze to death, and then you think about four angels surrounding the dude. Now, I don't like the froze to death deal, but I do like the four angels. And then four angels, and then Dave Wagner come, and he prophesied right at that time when I seen those four angels, that those angels picked him up and took him up into heaven. Isn't that an exciting deal? So we can't dwell on the freezing to death. We have to dwell on the angels and what God did and took him up into heaven. And really, that's what God's wanting to do for everyone. Amen. And we're not perfect. We haven't walked a perfect life, but God looks at us the way he looks at us. The finished Kurt Jacobson. Amen. The one that keeps on going, even if you trip, you fall, you look like a mess, and other people see it. God's still saying, you know what? I love you. I created you, and I'm going to bring you to that heavenly place called perfection. Paul, right at the end of his life, he said, I press to the high calling. There's a press to the high calling. It doesn't come free, but it's there for everyone that calls on the name of the Lord. Appreciate you so very, very much. We captured that song. You want to roar one more time just for the fun of it? One, two, three. Roar! Not bad, not bad. All right. Praise and worship. Thank you so very much. That was so powerful. Okay. I asked Jamie, I said, prophesy, Danny. And you know what, that song, what was the name of that song when I, you remember me bothering you? Or, what's that? Yeah, I Will Trust You. It was that name of it? Yeah, that's powerful, powerful. That's a prophetic utterance to this house. I will trust you, God. And when we trust God, everything else falls in place. Amen. And so whatever, wherever and whatever you're into, let God be trusted and he'll take you to that great, great, and wonderful place. Amen? Finances to give to the missions, Lord, because anytime we're supporting missions, we're supporting the kingdom in a greater way. We ask right now that you bless this body to be able to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So we do have a lot of healing that needs to happen. Every place that Jesus went, yes, you got something, buddy. Thank you.
The food shelf, that's right. Bring your food. There's matching funds for everything that we give to the food shelf for the month of March. And so some people have brought their stuff, but please consider what you can do for the food shelf. It's matched.
You can give money, too, for that, just flat money, yeah. All right, Father, we thank you, Lord, for the food shelf in this area. And how many counties does it cover anyway?
13
counties. You know, good place. You know, the local body, the Jerusalem here where we live, is needing that type of help. So it's a good thing. Father, we lift up the food shelf. We believe, Lord, that you're going to go above and beyond anything that we could ever ask or even dream about. And Father, that it would happen in a way that make people smile, make them happy, in Jesus' name. I like happy people. Amen. Okay, so this cancer devil that's flying around, we're wanting to take that thing down in Jesus' name. And I was thinking about, in heaven, unemployment among the angels. You remember Lindell Ballinger talking about teaching on angels? Anyone? Okay, Juan, Mary was listening. Angels. There were so many angels. He started talking about and looking into the scripture how many angels there was. You know, every once in a while we will release an angel here and there. When I'm on an airplane, I'm putting 1,000 on the right, 1,000 on the left, on the bottom, on the top, in the front, in the back. And then I'm asking them to go like this, you know, inside the wheel, because I see them big planes. I said, now this is an impossibility that plane can fly, and I'm getting on it hoping that it will. And so I'm trusting God in that great deal. So angels are important. When we release angels, we separate cancer from the person. I am in a well body fighting off sickness, and in this case, cancer. So now we don't have cancer anymore. You have a well body. This is a well body fighting off cancer. Okay? So if you can separate that, then sick the angels on the cancer. You know what I'm saying? Just sick the angel. You can get real mean. Them angels, some of them warring angels, can get awful mean. And you can just take that cancer and you can kick it all over, you know, kick it back to hell where it came from. Amen. You can get violent in your prayers. Cancer, you cannot live any longer. My brother, my sister is a body well and full of life of Jesus. And then you can take care of the enemy. Amen. And so angels, a lot of unemployment in heaven because people won't release the angels or probably don't understand, and I'm not preaching on angels today, but don't understand what the angels are all about. But those angels are very, very powerful, and they're waiting for a release from our voice. You know, it's pretty powerful because they won't go anywhere unless we release them. You know, I don't know, many people that went to Bible college, it was this present darkness. You remember the angels? And the problem was the angels didn't get, that with Jamie, this last week we talked about it. Yeah, the angels didn't get released, so the enemy was working overtime. We have to release the angels. We have an opportunity to just rip up hell and the wickedness of the enemy. And, you know, Linda talked about lost people. Wow, people are looking for the Lord. You know, I've seen more unsaved people in the last month and a half that were so broken, so beat up. You know, they come to minister to me, and I just said, I mean, they felt truly sorry for me and my wife, but they couldn't minister the ministry of reconciliation because it wasn't in them. So what do? Is you begin to minister the ministry of reconciliation. But you know what? In doing that, it just filled me up. Just filled me up. Got God in me. Wow. The joy of the Lord is in me. Wow. The things that really matter is in me. Wow. You know? And had incredible things, like God showing up and the four-angel deal. That was my question to God. And I got my answer because I asked the question. A mechanic down in Idaho Falls worked on Adam's truck, and maybe I've mentioned this story, but the mechanic wasn't a godly person and saying that, you know, he's born again or anything, but he has this experience that a presence come into the pickup that he was working on. It was Adam's truck because it was broke down. Adam had left to go to be with the Lord, but he got so shook up that he pulled off to the side of the road. And because he said, what is this? And then a voice came and spoke to him. Now this guy, like I said, you know, God's people always, oh, I hear a voice. But the fact is, this guy wasn't quite ready for the voice. And the voice said, it's all right, I'm all right, and it's no one's fault. And it was Adam from wherever he was at, in heavenly places, speaking to this young man. And this young man got so rattled that he didn't know what to do. He drove back to the shop. He told his boss, I have to go home. I'm hearing voices. Crazy stuff is happening. And, you know, will God not go as far as he has to go to give you the comfort that you need? You know that, and we went down, Alan, Zach, myself, and Chad went down the next day, and he told us exactly the same story. So it wasn't just a story that somebody had said, told us the very same story. God is good, God is faithful, God is building his body up. There's nothing can stop God if we would trust and believe. Let's see, was it Glenn? Dan, was it Glenn that we were praying for? Okay, all right. We're praying for Glenn. He had his arm taken off. Anyway, we're talking about salvation. You know, we want salvation. We want salvation. We're insisting on salvation in Jesus' name. You know, we start insisting. We start getting the tenacity on the inside of us. We're not taking this baloney anymore. And we had one. Here we go. We had one guy. His testimony. Sarah, your father-in-law, Jim. Okay, Jim, come back. He was cancer-free. Is that what I'm hearing? Okay. So when we were praying for him, it was kind of a bleak time. It was like, oh, we're fighting for Jim, and he had different things, and he fights things spiritually. But you know what? When God shows himself as a good God, you know, do we deserve it? Probably not. You know, did we deserve the first day I accepted Jesus? Probably not, but he accepted me in my condition that I was in. And just think, you know, I might not be what I used to be, but I'm a lot further along than what I used to be. And you know what? God's accepting us every day. He's accepting us every day. You know what? In this time, I really believe that we were praying yesterday, and I just felt like God was releasing something called unity of spirit on the inside of us as a body. And I have, you know, I've talked about this. I'm going to pass these out. I'll keep one. I don't think I have enough. So if it's a husband and wife, would you just take one? And you could get that. And what we're trying to do is get a unified heart among many people, because when you get many people believing, when you get two people believing, it's a powerful thing. When you get three people believing, it hardly can be stopped. But you get 10 people, you get 12 people, you get 100 people start believing, you can pass them on. And we'd talked about this. Usually we're looking for 100 things to tell somebody or preach 5,000 sermons to affect somebody's life. And by the time the sermon's done, you've almost forgot it. And by the time people have left the church, they've forgot it. Amen. I'm glad that none of you say that, or I'd feel real bad about that. But there's some areas here that are simple areas that I'm wanting to implement as a church body. And I really believe that it was the Lord. You know, we elders, we'd laid hands on that yesterday, except Jeff wasn't here and Frank. But Jeff, he agrees on it. We just laid hands and we prayed that we could try to bring this body together to start doing something that would really affect us in a realm of unity. First one was repentance into baptism. If you read the scriptures, read the above and below scriptures so you get the context of what we're trying to do. And when you read it, what I'm finding out, it's kind of like I've got a lion on the inside of me. Okay, tomorrow will I have a lion on the inside of me? I should, but if I address the lion on the inside of me, it'll grow stronger, it'll get more attention because I'm giving it attention. Like in baptism, when we were baptized, we were buried, or we were placed in death, burial, and resurrection. So I'm resurrected with Christ. Okay, I am in Christ, a resurrected person. So Jesus is resurrected, and I'm resurrected with all power and authority that Jesus has. And we are seated where? In heavenly places with Jesus. So what happens here is we're saying that every day. Now, you might be all right in that, but how about your neighbor? How about your friend? You know, maybe they've never heard it. Maybe the first time they hear it, they go, wow, I'm resurrected. Or maybe they're traditionally thinking that every Easter they're going to be resurrected. We're wanting to have a resurrected Lord, Savior, all-powerful God in us every day of the year. Amen? Yes. Every moment of the year. So it brings us again to, you know, I've died with him, I've been buried with him, and I'm resurrected with him. Okay, so the second one is to be born again. We can talk about being born again, and now people don't like, they'd like to kind of switch that word around and do something with it so it won't offend people that they're, you know, this deal, born again. But that's what we've been. We've been born again. Yes. I'm born again. I'm a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. You can read those scriptures, but then you have to believe those scriptures, and you have to really kind of recite them in your mind every day, or you forget. Nothing wrong with Christians. They're just leaky. They can find the truth and it leaks out. That was Gary Slover's deal, you know. You know, if we're leaky Christians, just keep filling it up, you know. And so that's to be born again. I'm born again. I'm born again. Now, if you said that every day, that would be very, very good. Because you get up in the morning and you say things like that. You go to work, you'll affect everything. The thermostat will turn into the temperature gauge will turn into a thermostat. You'll control everything. Okay, I come in, it's a little chilly, you know, about 50 degrees. Bring her up to 70 and bring people into your environment as Christians. Amen? To be born again is very important. Number three was to receive a life coach to bring people into understanding. What I'm wanting you to do this next week, if you would read this, and if you feel like you could be a life coach, now a life coach, it might sound like, man, I don't know if I want that type of heavy, but you know what? That's what the ministry is here for, that you could be a life coach. The first week that I was saved, I was a week smarter than everyone else that wasn't saved a week ago. If you hear what I'm saying,
that's right.
I'm born again. I'm going to heaven. That took me 3 weeks for the heaven deal. I was stubborn on the heaven, I guess. I don't know, but it took me 3 weeks, and I was convinced that I was going to heaven and not hell because everyone kept on telling me that. They were my life coach. And so what we're wanting to do is we're wanting to have an agreement in this. Who's your life coach? You know, Daniel, who's your life coach? Well, I'm sure two of them are sitting right next to you. But then how about another life coach? I seen you up on the roof with this crazy dude with a pair of coveralls on, shoveling snow that I did help. I lifted him up with the loader to get him up there. That was tough. Okay, so you're working with an elder from the church that becomes a life coach to talk into your life. And the big thing is, it's not so much discipleship as fellowship. And intimacy is saying, okay, I'm working with someone that believes in God, and I want more of God, so you're getting more of God. And yet, it's benefiting the life coach like you don't. I mean, wow, you know, you're releasing something, and people are receiving it. You see what I'm saying? So life coach is very important. So next week, if you think that you could possibly be a life coach to someone, first of all, we'll be life coaches to ourselves, but if you could be a life coach to someone, you can take one person or two people, I don't know, I wouldn't suggest four or five, or it's a Bible school type deal, which is all right too if you can make that happen. But I think that's very important, that we're accountable to someone so we can talk to them, and you get friendship enough. Do you like to share your most intimate things with somebody that you don't know? No, a life coach is somebody that you're going to begin to know, where you can share, you can trust, and you can believe that they're going to do good things for you. Number four is to be baptized in water. Again, just finding out what baptism in water, really talking about repentance and being baptized. It's the burial, or it's the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And walking in that baptism. When I first got baptized, I didn't want to because I was baptized as a Lutheran. I've told the story before, but I was glad that I got baptized in water. Baptism in the Holy Spirit. I think the most important thing that the disciples, they were trained, they were everything that, they had everything going, right? Except Jesus told them to go and tarry in Jerusalem. Now, we don't all have to fly to Israel and go to Jerusalem to tarry. If you tarry for the Holy Spirit, it'll come on you. And if you're needing help, you'd say, well, you know, I've never administrated the Holy Spirit to have someone else speak in tongues or see prophecy or prophesy or see dreams, see visions. There's enough people around here that can help you with that, all right? This isn't a Lone Ranger show. You've got a lot of people that can come alongside you. I love ministering the Holy Spirit, man. It's the coolest thing I've ever seen. To understand the spirit of tithes and offerings, very important deal. The body of Christ is damaged because of ignorance. And teaching on giving should be something that you're saying, I'm going to dig into that because it works. Amen? And testimony on giving and what you're doing, it works. I'm not going to back off the truth of God's word. I'm going to believe that God is going to show every person how the Spirit of the Lord is going to do it. So you start, it even says, test me. You know, that doesn't give us too many opportunities to test God, but he said, you won't outgive him, I can guarantee you that. And, you know, I can pray for someone. If you get $10 a week, man, I can pray that you can give that $1 and you'd be out there giving that $1 and saying, praise the Lord, I've got nine left. But I like to pray for people that are getting $10,000 a week, give $1,000 to the Levitical priest order in the Old Testament, and then they see the increase. Amen? I'd love to pray for millionaires and that they'd have to say, I'm going to go to the house of the Lord. I'm going to go to the work of God. I'm going to go to the world that we live in, and here's $100,000. So I'm praying for millionaires to come here and be blessed of the Lord, open up the windows of heaven, give them opportunities. So then we go into understanding the spirit of tithes and offering, to understand the language of game changers. Game changers is get rid of your rotten attitude, send it to hell where it came from in the first place, and get a heavenly thought of what God is doing. Amen? Complaining, moaning, groaning. Where in the world is that coming? That's preaching out of hell. Amen? Oh, I won't make it. My hips are hurting. My hips were hurting this last, it's been hurting quite a while, and I'd get this sciatic deal, and so it was really bothering me, and I said, well, I went to Google, and this is what I put on Google. I said, help for, or stretches, because I knew that stretching might help it. So I put stretching for sore hips. And immediately I had about five places, and this one was 12 steps for sore hips. I'm going, okay. So Jake was with me, and I'm glad he wasn't able to see at that time. I'm hoping for the eyes to see. But at that time, I looked pretty rough when I'm stretching. You know, I'm down here. Ah! I was going, it hurts so much. And so about after 15 minutes, I did them stretches, and I got up, and I could not believe. My hips didn't hurt. My left hip didn't hurt. I'm going, what in the world is that? Well, you stretched. Oh, okay. So don't fight it when God's trying to show you something, even if you have to use Google. But the big thing is, when the pain goes away, you stop doing it. Mm-hmm. When God delivers, you stop doing it. Oh, when the pain goes away, you stop doing it. I'm doing pretty good now. I was doing a little dancing and stuff. But as soon as the pain comes back, I'm going back to my program. But if you stay on the program, pretty soon it's not going to come back, because you're on the program. Amen? That was a good one. So game changers is important. What we say, every day, stretch it out. I'm not going to, when I come and complain, moan and groan about my job, about my car, about my plight in life and how I've been treated and how God couldn't even help me. Get rid of it. It's sermons from hell. Throw that book away. Get sermons from heaven. Good, positive thinking. Amen. It's a game changer. Hallelujah. To receive and incorporate prophetic words spoken over you, your life and into your life. Your prophecy is not for me. I think it's cool when you get a cool prophecy. And I can say, do you remember your prophecy? And you say, no, I don't think I do. Tom, man, he's working hard as hard can be to get the prophecies, put it at you, your mouth, and say, eat, eat, eat. Apples and bananas. Jake can sing it. Eat apples and bananas. It's good for you. Hallelujah. Prophecy is good, but if you're forgetting it the next day, you know, I know some people in here, and I'm not going to mention them, but they've had prophecy, and they're still sticking on the prophecy, and it's just coming to pass. I had prophecy the first couple of months after I gave my life to Christ. I had prophecies that were mind-blowing. I didn't even know what they were talking about. I said, are you insane? You know, they were talking about apostles. I thought that was a ditch or something that you know. But it was those things, and it took 35 years so that I could start flowing in that gift, but God gave it to me 35 years before in a prophetic word from a man of God that I respected dearly. You see what I'm saying? This thing is, I mean, he's doing the deal on us continuously. So that's exciting. I'm so excited. To walk in the Spirit, and they became the church, or the ecclesia. So why we use ecclesia as the word, if you look that up, it'll tell you what the church is all about. It's not just a building or 25 buildings in a city. The church is about Spirit led by the Lord, coming down and speaking to us about our children, about every aspect of our life. That's the church and others. And so that's important. And then it's some foundational teachings. And then the gifts and callings. We used the DISC program. And Jeff went through this probably, was it 3 years ago, 4 years ago? Yeah. So 4 years ago, that's really what it does. It lines you up to really show you how you fit in the body of Christ, how you fit in the world around you, or why you don't fit in the world around you. And so we, of course, Sandra and myself, we try it out on each other. She takes her test. It wasn't a test. It was, you know, kind of profile your whole deal. And I found out that I was a D mode, which means dominant mode, when I'm just, you know, hanging out. You know, I could be dominant. But when I'm under pressure, I become an I, which is influence, or you influence someone, so you're an I, and you're kind, and you're willing to talk to them for hours. And then there's the S mode. And the S mode is steady. And they say the world around us makes up how many, what, how much? 70% of the S's are steady people that work steady jobs. They go every day and they work the job. Every day they work the job. D's don't do that usually. They're usually sometime from job to job to job. But if once you get into understanding that you're an ass, you can understand why you can do this. It'd drive me right out of my ever living mind if you gave me an 8 to 5. I don't know what I'd do, but I'd retire. I'm at the age I could retire. I never thought of that. Okay, so anyway, that's real good. And then we go into the last is the C. And that's cautious. Okay, you're somewhat cautious. Have you ever run into a cautious person? I have run into a cautious person. How do I work with a cautious person, a steady person, a person of influence and wants to just talk because they influence things because they're talking, or a dominant person? That's important for your life. So I can work with Bethany. She's not hard to work with. She's about as sweet and steady as Yeah, yeah. She's not a cautious person, but she's a steady person. And I can go to a steady person and I, you know what? People have influence. Sometimes I don't like it because all they want to do is talk and not work. You know, I find myself one that has influence quite a bit. Tom sends my, Adam used to do that. He'd said, Dad, you go over and talk to that guy so we can get some work done. And I did real good with it, you know. I talked to him for an hour. So this card right here, really what we're wanting to do is implement it into our lives as the body. And if you're willing to jump on it, I know this one thing it has to receive a life coach, and one it was to read a one-year Bible. And we used to do that with our Bible students. It was always tough because they had to get up and talk about what they had read. And you know, in 1 week's time, it gets to be a pretty good part, and they'd get up and they'd make reports on it and stuff. But you know, Tom and myself started doing it last year, and every time we met together, we could talk about what we read that morning or yesterday and some of the crazy stuff that's in that book. You know, we were talking yesterday, you know, the sacrifice of animals in the Old Testament, and 120,000 sheep were sacrificed, 22,000 bulls were sacrificed at Solomon's temple dedication. You talk about work. You talk about, I don't know what they did. What did they do with all the guts? What did they do with all the blood? What did they do with all the stuff that had to be removed? Well, if you read about the Levitical priest order, they were sent to represent the other 11 tribes. And they represented God to the other 11 tribes. You know, and you start thinking about some of these things. And then Jesus coming, and one person took the place of all those sacrifices.
That's right.
The fear of the Lord comes into you, because if you messed with the Levitical priest order, if you messed with them, that was dangerous. But if they messed with God, it was really dangerous. They used to tie ropes on the priests, and if they messed up, they fell dead, and they drug them out. Thank God they don't have that ministry anymore. Who wants to be a Levitical priest? No, not me. So anyway, if you would read and consider this, we're going to ask, just after you kind of go through this, then we're going to ask, who could be a life coach? Noi, who's your life coach? Yeah, and you got a good life coach. And maybe each of us could be life coaches to each other. You know what I'm saying? Maybe you feel like you're not part of the body. You know, you come and the service is short, and or probably longer than you want, but still short. But, you know, if you're feeling that way, then you have someone that should be a life coach to you that I could call you and say, what did you think about the reading this morning? Whoa. We went through a reading. Yeah, well, this last week, there was such wild stuff that was going on in there. It's a wonderful book. It's a revealing book that will change our lives forever. So if you could pray about that, which we will right now, that we could implement something. Now, reading or listening to it on your phone is a good way, your everyday reading. I started listening to it, but I went back to reading it because it did me more good to read it. And I don't know if that would be you, but it's good to listen on it. You can go on 1 year Bible and they'll put it on, and they have 3 days that you can go, first day, second day, third day, and then they go to the next 3 days. And that's a good way to do it. I can't get by with missing it anymore. So this last week, for some reason, when I go under pressure, I stop reading the Bible. And I don't understand that, but, you know, I got up to Adam right up, the celebration was March 9th, and I stopped reading it for 5 days. And I was convicted. I knew I was going to get back, but I don't know why that is when the pressure's you went there, you made the pressure, you read up to that, but then you went to that place and you missed it 5 days in a row. Now, I'm almost done catching up again, but I don't understand it, except I think under pressure, people will draw away from what the Spirit is doing because you're looking at your own personal needs, your own personal feelings, how you experience loss and different things like that. So I think it's even an enemy to, if you start feeling that way, you're not strong in the Lord. You're being tested to get back and read the Word. Amen. So, Father, we ask, Lord, that today, some way, Lord, that each one of us could take a look at it. If everyone comes along, it'd be fantastic. Reading the Word is very good for you. God, all these things are so biblically sound, Lord. Anything that can be done, Lord, in it, I know that it'll change our lives. And we'd be greater unified by your Spirit, not by a denominational tie that we belong to that denomination, but by the Spirit of the Lord. I pray for each person now, Lord, the goodness of God will overtake their lives in every manner that it can. We pray for those that are sick among us, God, that we'd lay hands on and we would pray and we'd anoint with oil and we'd do everything, Lord, that the Scriptures has told us to do. We pray that you're the God of heaven and earth. And I'm mentioning Glenn. I pray for Glenn right now in the name of Jesus Christ, that your mercy, that your grace, that your salvation, that your goodness, that everything that you are, Lord, will come to Glenn and you speak into his life. God, we speak salvation into his life. God, a horrible, horrible outward thing happened, but God, you can do something greater. Like my dad, after 3 months before he died, God, he accepted Jesus, my stepfather also, Lord. Lord, you can do things in the later part of people's lives and they can get saved. I pray that Glenn gets saved and he sees Jesus personally for himself. We lift up this body. It's a good body and it's good people, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that we have each other, that we can lean on each other in difficult times and in good times. We thank you, we praise you for everyone here. And this next week would be the greatest time because, Lord, that you're just showing us what time we're in, but it's the greatest time. Even the prophets desired to live in this time, and we have the opportunity to live in this time and see the hand of God moving mightily. We release it now in Jesus' name upon this body. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. If you're needing prayer today, please come up. We got prayer warriors up here that things happen when they pray. Amen. All right. All right. Noy, would you come on up? You're going to stand with Danny. Danny, would you stand up? Stand with Noy. All right. So this is how we do do our coaching is we pray for each other and then we pray for others. Noy, have you ever been up and prayed for someone in the prayer line? Well, you have now. So if anyone's needing prayer, would you come up? And Danny's going to pray and Noy's going to pray. And this is kind of the discipleship 101. God bless you. You're dismissed.